You'll now turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. In chapter 13, we'll begin reading in John 13, verse 36. We'll read through John 14, verse 21. And our text for this morning will be John 14, verses 15 through 21, as we think about loving Jesus. So John chapter 13, we'll begin our reading in verse 36, and then we'll read through 14, verse 21. Hear now our God speaking to us, John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, thank you that you have given us your word. Jesus, thank you for speaking these words of comfort, that you will not leave us helpless, that you will send the Spirit as another comforter to us, that you will enable us to love you, to obey you, to walk in fellowship with you. I ask that you would do a mighty work today by your Spirit in the hearts of those who are here. But if there be any who do not know you savingly, then may this be the day of salvation. May their hearts be open to the truth of your word. For those who do know you, God, may our hearts be expanded to love you, to walk in obedience to you, to experience the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and Jesus, that you would, as you have promised to do, manifest yourself to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so as we come to this text, particularly verses 15 through 21, we see this idea that is given to us here by Jesus about loving Him and obeying Him. That's in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Again in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So I was thinking about that when I do premarital counseling. For those of you who have been through premarital counseling with me, we go through a little bit of what are called the love languages, a fun way to explore the way people relate to one another. Some of those are acts of service, words of encouragement. But as I thought about this, and I asked the question, well, we were to ask, what is Jesus' love language? If I can use that terminology, we might say it's obedience. That's what he says here, isn't it? Those who love me will not only have my commandments, but they will keep my commandments. And this is really following in the footsteps of Jesus, because we know he loved his Father. And he walked in obedience to his Father. So he calls us to follow in his footsteps. Now, I want you to make sure that you don't miss the context of these verses. And we'll see later how, if we miss the context, we may end up missing the point. We can turn verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, into a law that says, listen, you had better prove your love to me. You better obey me, because if you don't obey me, you don't love me, and I'm not going to love you. And that's far from what Jesus is saying here. Look at the context here. It's a context of comfort. Judas has been dismissed from the disciples in chapter 13. And verse 30, Peter has just been told, this is interesting, Peter has just been told that he'll deny Jesus three times. And right after that, Jesus goes and begins, as this chapter begins, with this statement, let not your hearts be troubled. And he goes on in verse 7, he says, you know the Father. In verse 12, he says, you will do greater works. He says in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. In verse 16, I will pray the Father and he will send the Spirit. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 19, because I live, you will live. In verse 27, we didn't get that far, but in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you. And again, repeats this, let not your heart be troubled. So the overall context of John chapter 14 is one of encouragement and comfort to disciples who are about ready to lose the physical presence of Jesus. Because he's going to go from them eventually. But he gives them this promise to encourage them. He says, I'm going to send the Spirit. And it's by the work of the Spirit that you who love me will keep my commandments. And there'll be an outworking as those who love him keep his commandments. The Father will shower us with his love. The Son will. And Jesus says this amazing statement. The end of verse 21, I will manifest myself to him. That's a deep statement. Now, Jesus is speaking again to the 11 disciples. Judas is gone. He's speaking to those who do love him. Remember, he asked Peter that question, do you love me? Do you love me? He knows he loves him. You know I love you, Lord. You know. He's not speaking to people who are perfect in their obedience. But he's speaking to people who love him, and he's inviting them into a deeper love expressed through obedience to him. And he makes this promise. He says, as you enter into this, as you express your love for me by way of obedience, you will experience more and more of my love and my manifest presence in your life. Is that something you're interested in experiencing? More of the love of the Father? More of the love of the Son? The manifest presence of Jesus in your life? I am. So we might put it like this. Love, and I hope to show this, the love that God has for us, because who loves first? We don't even love because we can't until first we are loved by Him. But this love to us and the love that is by the Spirit brought out in our hearts leads to obedience. Obedience then expresses love. And this loving obedience then results in experiencing more of the love and the presence of Jesus in our daily lives. And so really what I want to encourage you today, I want to encourage you today to make it your aim to love Jesus, to walk in obedience to Him, to have a greater experience of His love and presence in your daily life. We might put it like this simply, as we express our love for Jesus, we experience His love and presence. As we express our love for Jesus, we experience more of His love and presence. So I want to look at two things. One, expressing our love for Jesus and experiencing His love and presence for and with us. And so the first thing that I want to look at with you is expressing our love for Jesus. Begins in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the first thing that we have to address here is there's a textual variant here. In fact, if you have ESV or probably NASB, you have, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think in the context, we see a lot of those statements here. You will, I will. It's a promise. I think that's the better way to read this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not so much an imperative. If you love me, you better. But if you love me, you will. This will be characteristic of you. You will desire to obey. You're not going to do it perfectly. But you'll have that desire in your hearts. You'll want to walk it out. Why? Because God has loved us. In fact, we might put it this way. Jesus' love for us is the foundation of our love and obedience for Him. What does John say in 1 John 4:10? In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And so, love really is the motive for obedience, isn't it? God's love for us. But also, our love for Him is a motive to obey. It's a great thing, isn't it? We might put it like this. Love comes before obedience, and love flows from obedience. Or in other words, love for Jesus is the foundation of our obedience to Jesus. So we love Him, we walk in obedience, and our obedience is an expression of our love for Jesus. That's what He says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he who has my commandments, verse 21, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. In other words, when those who are walking in obedience to me are the ones who are expressing their love for me in very practical ways. Obedience is an expression of our love for Jesus. Now remember, in the context is one in which Jesus is comforting His disciples. So Jesus is not saying here, as this has probably been taken and pulled out of context, maybe you've heard that. Just take verse 15 out of context as it is translated in the New King James Version. If you love me, keep my commandments. You take it out of the context of comfort. You take it out of the context of what Jesus is speaking of here. And then you turn it into a law. You make Jesus say something like this. If you really love me, then prove it. Well, think about that. If you really love me, prove it. Well, that's not what Jesus is saying here. That's not how the Reformers understood this verse. That's not how we ought to understand it. After all, when would we, whose obedience is so pitiful and imperfect, ever be able to prove our love to Jesus? Is that where you want to go? I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove my love to you. No. No, it misses the context. The comfort. In fact, there's a promise here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, in order to keep His commandments, two things have to be true, though. Look at me at verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. We have to have them. That's the first thing. What does it mean to have them? It doesn't simply mean to have the Bible. How many of you have many Bibles in your house? I do. It's always good, because then I can find one. Oh, there's the Bible. But it doesn't simply mean to have it in your possession. The language here that is used to have my commandments is language that expresses not simply access to them, but grasping them with your mind. Grasping them with your mind, understanding them, memorizing them. Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart. Think about it. God's people for many years didn't have printed Bibles. They didn't have access to ones that were written. Where was it? It's here. That's what Moses said, didn't he? He said, you need to take the word and you need to, as it were, bind them on your hand and on your head so that they might not depart from your heart. And so really, I would encourage you to make memorization of Scripture. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you might say, well, I don't know, my brain's not working that well any longer. If I was younger, I'd do it. No, start now. Hide God's word in your heart. Grasp it with your mind. But not only that, he says, not only do you have it, but you keep it. So if you have it, if you hide it in your heart, if you store it up in your heart, if you understand it, if you meditate upon it, then you need to apply it in your life. But again, we might ask, what is Jesus talking about here? My commandments in verse 15 and my commandments in verse 21. I think we need to also look at the context here. Look with me at John 13, verse 34. Jesus has just said to them, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, this doesn't mean that all of the other commandments in the Word of God go to the wayside, but supreme above all the commandments is this one, to love one another. In other words, we might say, Jesus is saying, if you love me, love others. If you love me, you will love others. John brings that out in his letters, doesn't he? He says, if we say we love God and we don't love our brother, something's wrong. So, obedience is an expression of our love for Jesus, particularly obedience to this commandment. Love one another. But is that easy to do? How many of you have perfected loving one another? It's hard. It's hard to love other people. Just generally, what about when they sin against you? What about when they sin against you repeatedly? Side note, somebody sins against you, pray for them. Don't pray in this way. Oh God, stop that wicked sinner from sinning against me. Just pray in this way. God bless them. It's very hard to be upset with someone that you are actively praying for God's blessings to be poured out upon. God bless them. Be with them. Help them. So, it's hard though, isn't it? We need help. And that's what Jesus actually provides here. Not only does he provide a promise, again in 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, but he provides help. Notice what he says right after that. He says, I will pray to the Father. And Jesus, when he prays, his prayers are always answered. I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's speaking of the Holy Spirit here. Another helper. Jesus says, I'm your helper, but I'm going to provide you another helper. You're going to have helpers times two, both divine. What a promise that is. You see, Jesus knows that this obedience is going to be difficult. So he says, I'm going to send or pray, and the Father is going to send the Spirit. And in such a way, in verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. He's talking about the Spirit being poured out on Pentecost. But it's interesting, this word translated orphans here. It means helpless. Now think about an orphan. An extremely young orphan. I don't remember how young, I'll have to ask my dad this. Great grandmother on his side was orphaned. Somewhere on the East Coast, maybe New York. And was put on something called an orphan train and sent across the country. And by God, in God's providence, was adopted by an individual, I think, up in Plattsburgh. And then here I am standing before you today. I don't know how old she was, but think about it. She couldn't take care of herself. She needed help. She was alone in the world, as it were. Think about how scary that might have been for a young girl to be put on a train and shipped miles to be introduced to people you didn't even know. But her name, called her Mimi. But she was, and she was cared for. And so it is that Jesus promises, I'm not going to leave you helpless. You are helpless apart from me, but I'm not leaving you. Remember, He is going to die. He is going to ascend into heaven, and then He's going to send the Spirit upon the church. What a beautiful comfort this is. We have the Spirit working in us to enable us to obey and to express our love for Christ. So we might put it like this, if we're looking at the order of things, summarizing our the expression of our love for Jesus, Jesus loves us, we love Him, we obey Him, and this leads to an intimacy with Jesus, an experience. This is why John can say that His commands are not a burden. In fact, I want you to understand that. None of His commands are ever a burden but a blessing. Because ultimately they lead. As we express our love for Christ, walking in obedience, obedience that He enables us to do, we end up experiencing His love and presence. That's the second thing I want to look at with you this morning. We see that really in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. But before we get there, I want you to know this. This is an experience that not everyone can understand. Look with me back at verse 17. Remember, the Spirit of truth is being sent to enable us to love, to enable us to walk in obedience, so that we might experience the love of the Father, the love of the Son in a deeper way in our life, even the manifest presence of Christ. And yet, what do we read in verse 17? The world cannot receive, nor know the Spirit. In other words, this experience is an experience which those outside of Christ cannot hope to understand. The unbelieving world cannot receive the Spirit. The unbelieving world does not know the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. One commentator puts it this way, nothing which relates to the Holy Spirit can be learned by human reason, but He is known only by the experience of faith. Now, I want to talk to you who may be here and you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't understand. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, I'm here because my family wants me to be here. I'm here because I think it's the right thing to do. What else am I going to be doing on a Sunday morning? But you don't know Christ. You cannot. And don't ever think for a moment that you will experience the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the manifest presence of Jesus Christ. You're at war with God. You cannot receive the things. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, you know what? This is all foolishness. I once thought that way. Why God? Why God love me enough to, by His Spirit, knock sense into my rebellious heart? You to leave here unchallenged. Because it matters. You cannot know this. And so if you don't, you desire it, then you come to God and you plead with Him. Save me. He'll answer that prayer. But what about in the church? Another commentator put it this way. Now he's writing, he said, in the 20th century, you might say in the 21st. He says, consciousness of the presence of the Spirit has to a very great extent disappeared even in the believing community. It is possible to say that the only person who will understand the words about the Spirit is the one who already experienced the presence of the Spirit. So we must not come to a place where we just rationalize everything. We think we understand everything. There's no room for mystery. No, Jesus says here that as we express that love for Him, as we walk in Spirit-empowered obedience unto Him, then this is what will happen. He will be loved by my Father. I will love Him and manifest myself to Him. Experiencing the love of the Father. This is not speaking of His, what we might call, objective love. For we know that God sets His love on His people from before the foundation of the world. Romans 8 tells us that nothing will separate us from His love. But this is talking about a practical experience in our lives of the love of the Father and the love of the Son. This is the answer to Paul's prayer for the church recorded in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 17. He prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, there's that initial grounding in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what I want. That's my prayer for you all. But make no mistake, this is experiencing the love of the Father and the love of the Son in our lives. And most amazing of all is this last statement of Jesus: I will manifest myself to Him. Now, the word translated manifest here means literally, I will appear, show myself. Remember what Moses cried out to God? Show me your glory. Jesus says, I'm going to appear. I'm going to make myself known. I'm going to reveal myself. Now, there's a sense in which He does reveal Himself to all of His people. But here, speaking of this experience, this is His real presence. What I'm not talking about is that Jesus is going to physically appear and walk up to you. It is spiritual, but nonetheless real. It is by the Spirit. It is a comforting. Remember, the whole context here is one of comfort. It is a comforting presence. But it is something that Jesus says will happen. And what an encouragement to us to walk in loving obedience to Christ. Because Jesus is saying here that He will manifest Himself more clearly to those who walk in obedience to His commands. This is a ever-deepening and intimate relationship with Christ. J.C. Ryle says, those who follow Christ most closely and obediently will always follow Him most comfortably and feel most of His inward presence. I can testify to this. Scripture testifies to it. Psalm 25 and verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Now remember this. We can never, and thank God for this, we can never increase, decrease, or lose the objective love of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. God has loved His people from before the foundation of the world. What does Scripture tell us? While we were yet sinners, He loved us, died for us, gave Himself for us. So we can say this with Paul in Romans 8. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will separate us from the love of God. But at the same time, sin, and what is sin? John calls it lawlessness, disobedience. Sin, although it will not separate us from His love, God's people surely can lose the experience of His love and presence. Just ask David. Remember David, he sinned greatly. Uriah's death was due to his his machinations. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he prayed in Psalm 51, "Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." What a prayer from David, the man who had been a man after God's own heart, who loved him, who would sit as a shepherd in the wilderness, and he would spend time in the presence of God. And yet here he cries out because he knows that he has sinned. "Do not, God, I plead with you, do not take your Spirit from me." Instead, he goes on, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Now, if he's asking to have that restored, it means that he had lost it. "Restore to me the joy, because of my own disobedience, I've lost that intimacy with you." Why is it that many professing believers may not be experiencing the joy of the Lord? Simply not walking in obedience to His commands. And so remember, the context here, though, is one of encouragement. It's not one in which Jesus is saying these words in order to shame you, in order to provoke you, to respond out of fear. "Oh, if I don't obey, he's not going to love me." No, actually, this is all in the context of comforting his disciples. Remember, the context here is one in which he was going to go to his death. He was going to depart from them. He told Peter, "You're going to deny me 3 times. And so he comforts them with this truth. He says, "Yes, you are about ready to lose my physical presence, but it doesn't mean that you're going to lose my presence." He says, "Because I love you, you will love me. You will express that love to me through obedience, especially to this command, love one another. And to the extent that you do this, you will grow in your experience of the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the Son Himself will manifest Himself to you." In other words, as you walk in loving obedience, Jesus says to me, I will become more and more real to you. That's what He means here. I will love Him and manifest myself to Him. And here is the most amazing thing. Jesus promises this blessing to those who he knows, are going to be imperfect in their obedience. You and I are not perfect. Our obedience is going to be imperfect. And yet he still says, knowing that our obedience is going to be imperfect, he says, "He who loves me will obey me even if it's imperfectly, and not only will he experience the love of the Father and the love of the Son, but I myself will manifest myself to him." Now, this is an encouragement to me to strive to walk in obedience to God's word. Not out of fear that somehow God will cast me away, but because I don't want to be distanced from my Savior. I don't want anything to be between us. I want what he promises here. I want him to manifest himself to me more and more. I want to be as close to Jesus Christ in this life as I can. I know that sin will never separate me from his love, but I do know. David knew this. I know this. You should know this, that sin will hinder our experience of his love and presence. You know, Spurgeon puts it this way. "Brethren, rob not your heart of the deep sea joys. Miss not the far down life by forever babbling among the broken shells and foaming surges of the shore." What a picture. I remembered that quote as I was on vacation last year, swimming out, probably a little too far into the ocean. I thought, oh boy, if I get a cramp out here, this is not going to be good. But that's the picture, isn't it? Don't just sit on the shore like a child. Go out. Pursue him. Express love through obedience. Make it your aim. And this is what I'll leave you with. Make it your aim to love Jesus. And in doing so, to have a greater experience of his very real presence in your daily life. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. That you have sent your Spirit not only to be with us, but to be in us. that you have not left us helpless, but given us all that we need. Enable us by your Spirit to love you more and more, to walk in obedience to you so that we might experience the joy that is found in your presence. That you would manifest yourself to us more and more so that we might know you. Oh God, I ask that you would do that work in the hearts of all who are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.